everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our program, and he's got a huge smile on his face. Ray in a terrific mood, which is always great. When I look through the glass, I see that smiling face. It's wonderful to see that. What isn't wonderful, Ray? I've had it with the wind. 3 straight days of these 35-mile-an-hour gusts kicking up all these allergens. Come on. I mean, hopefully it's about gone.
I'm over it.
Yeah, all right. Well, anyway, how about that response? I posted a fairly simple Facebook question today. What is the deal with America? 48% of the voting population decided, for whatever reason, not to vote. And the response, if you get a chance, take a look at Bill Buckmaster, the Facebook page, because there's been just like overwhelming response. Everybody has an opinion, which is good, and a lot of interesting stuff up there. Anyway, it is the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI. We're here Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We're going to get things rolling with TUSD Governing Board Member Dr. Mark Stegeman. Dr. Stegeman, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. It's nice to be done with all that.
Yeah. As you know, we kind of, here on the show, we let others sort of get into the mud of this election that you were involved with. You had 7 candidates.
Yes.
Running for 3 seats.
Yes.
You being now elected the top vote getter to a 3rd 4-year term. One of the 3 other incumbents, Crystal Foster, who joined us yesterday on the live line, was the 2nd top vote getter, so she retains her seat. Now, Cam Juarez, the 3rd incumbent, he will apparently not be coming back, did not have enough votes, but a newcomer is going to be joining you on the board.
Yeah, Rachel Sedgwick, she's a student at the U of A Law School, and from what I can see, I don't know her well, but from what I can see, she'll be good. I think she'll be good.
And Crystal was pointing out that she looks forward to, talking with her, having lunch with her. And is this about building, kind of trying to get Ms. Sedgwick to join either the Hicks-Stegeman coalition or the Foster and Grijalva coalition on the board?
No, I don't think there is a Hicks-Stegeman coalition. Most board votes are unanimous, even now. And when they're split, Mike and I vote together about 60% of the time. It's and disagree about 40% of the time. It's not a voting block. There's only one voting block on the board that always votes together, and that's a majority. And I think it's a bad pattern, and I think we do not want to recreate more blocks. I think we want to get back to where it was when I first got on the board, when people voted more independently.
Well, so you don't see this as trying to woo Ms. Sedgwick to go one way or the other right now. You want an independent board and do away with the voting blocks. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Well, I think what I've said for years is we need to focus on issues rather than personalities, and it's issue by issue. The district needs a lot of changes, and I think as we work through this and try to fix those things, every board member will make their own assessment of how they think we should go forward. And hopefully we can make compromises and reach consensus where we can and undertake some, I think, pretty serious work to change the district culture.
You got hit pretty hard with a mailer. You brought one of these
mailers. A couple of mailers.
I don't want to dwell a lot on the election because it is in the rearview mirror, but would you like to clarify a few points for our listeners?
Well, I wish our listeners could see this mailer because they've got a nice picture of me here looking like kind of a cranky version of Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, my goodness. That looks like it's a mugshot.
Yeah, I think it looks worse than that. I'm surprised they didn't paint my eyes red.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is this is sort of a hit piece from the an independent expenditure committee that was funded almost entirely from out of state, out of county. Mm-hmm. Some states, some national money.
What was said that wasn't true? That that you say is not true?
Well, so it has a big heading here, just the facts, and it says voted to close 20 schools, but that's not correct. I voted for some and voted against some, so that's just an error.
Were 20 closed over your...
No, 19. One of these that they're referring to actually was before I was on the board. But of the 19, and I voted for the majority of those, so it's not so much was it 20 or was it 15. It's more that this is trying to create the impression that I voted for all the closures. And in fact, I voted against a lot and stopped a lot. I probably was opposed to more than I supported. So that's just wrong. And then here's another one. Cost TUSD hundreds of thousands of dollars with unfounded attorney general complaints, which found nothing, except that, in fact, they found that we had violated the open meeting law, which I don't think is nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's okay for people to campaign. I mean, my feeling about negative campaigning is if it's true and it's relevant, then it's fair game because it's part of your record. But if it's not true, that's not okay.
What about your mailers? Did you send out any? Or?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I think they were...
you feel they were factual?
Well, and a little bit more positive. It was more about me. Well, I mean, I guess it's flattering. My mailers were kind of about me, and their mailers are also about me. So I was trying to say, I have a plan for the district. I'd like to go forward and make positive changes.
Now, what about this charge that you, Mark Stegeman, are just bought and sold by special interests, that you're a puppet of the special interests?
Right. I'm not sure what the evidence for that is. I guess they're saying that I'm the PAC, the IEC that supported me, TUSD Kids First, has some developer money. I actually voted against a couple of school sales, which involved one of those developers, because I thought the price wasn't high enough. So I'm not quite sure what the evidence is. The same IEC supported Betts Putnam Hidalgo. And to say that for her to say that she's a captive of business interests is, I think, beyond comical. So,
all right, let's go to the live line.
It was just a silly thing.
Okay, Tom would like to join in the conversation. Hey, Tom, you're with Dr. Mark Stegeman.
Dr. Stegeman, is the board in a mood for more spending than would normally be because the state does not have an appetite for increase K-12 funds for the TUSD?
In Arizona, the state sets the spending level for every district, and I think the spending level is too low. I think they should give us more. I would feel more comfortable making that case if we spent the money that we get very well, and I don't think we always do. But so I guess what I'm saying is we don't really control our own spending. The state sets our spending level. And I would like to be able to show the state at some point that we spend our money very efficiently, and at that point we could help make that case.
All right, a couple of Facebook questions for Dr. Mark Stegeman. This is Mark's third term, writes Carolyn, on the TUSD board. Could you ask him, Bill, why TUSD needs to outsource to that firm called ESI for substitute teachers? Why can't that job be done in-house by the district?
Well, I think it can, and that's why I voted against it. I didn't agree with that. I think ESI is a company that exists because of a structural flaw in the state retirement system. And ESI takes advantage of that flaw and scoops up a lot of money that really should belong to our employees.
What is that an acronym for? Do you have any idea, ESI?
I think it's Educational Services, Inc.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
Okay. So how is it being done right now? Is it being then going to ESI for substitutes, or is it a
Yeah, all the substitutes have been outsourced to ESI, and some of the substitutes took significant compensation cuts. The long-term subs took significant compensation cuts, and I was opposed to that, and I remain opposed to that. And I would like to reverse it. I think that's something that a new board should revisit.
All right, Georgia wants me to, the question is, Bill, please ask Dr. Stegeman about the document to be released in early December, intending to make major changes in our magnet schools.
The special master is going to release a report at some point recommending, I'm sure, the shutdown of some of our magnet programs. The timing hasn't been officially announced, but there is a rumor, I guess, or an account that says it'll be in December. And I think that the court will support the special master, and I think that we will have to probably shut those programs down. I think that the district bears a lot of the responsibility for that. We have not managed the magnet program as well. There's been a lot of outcry recently at Utterback, where parents came to the board, and one parent was crying because of problems at Utterback that I think reflect the lack of support. But whatever the reason, I think we're going to have to shut down some of those programs. Now, some of them can be refunded by the desegregation budget in other ways. So the fact that they're losing, and this is something not everyone understands, the fact that the school is losing its magnet status doesn't mean the program's going away. But I do think we're going to have to face that reality.
Well, will any of the magnet programs go away then?
Yes, I think five or six of them.
And how out of five or six out of how many?
I think 19 altogether.
Okay.
So, yeah, most of them are going to survive, but some of them will be defunded. But as I say, for example, the International Baccalaureate Program, if it's defunded, which it might be, it can be refunded through other desegregation budget lines. So I don't think it's going away.
All right, 12:16 on this edition of the Buckmaster Show, this Thursday edition. We're speaking with University of Arizona economics professor Dr. Mark Stegeman, who is now going to begin his third four-year term on the board for the Tucson Unified School District. 790-2040. Any questions about TUSD? Well, let us hear from you. Be right back.
In southern Arizona, if you don't have termites yet, you will. Five Star Termite and Pest Control treats what the termites are after, your home. Don't treat the dirt, earth, ground, or soil. Foam the home. Call Five Star at 886-0045. Subterranean termites? Bad. Five Star Termite and Pest Control? Good. Soil treatments? Silly. Patented foaming treatment process? Smart. Homeowner who wants effective termite treatment? Contacts Five Star at 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. One thing to add to that Green Thing spot, you know, they've got these weekend workshops, free workshops, Saturday and Sunday. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com, to hear the very latest, find out the latest in what will be offered this weekend over at really a beautiful destination. 13 acres over by the Rito. They're at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Jan and Jack, what they have done with this property, it's nothing short of a miracle. They took over 4 acres, expanded it to 13, and it's a beautiful property, and the congratulations to what they're doing to make Tucson a better place. Dr. Mark Stegeman is here. Dr. Stegeman will be starting his third four-year term on the board, the governing board of the TUSD school district. There are 5 members. Dr. Stegeman will be coming back. Crystal Foster will be coming back for another term. Cam Juarez, the other incumbent, will not be coming back. There will be a newcomer. We've already set up an interview with her. Rachel Sedgwick is going to be with us on the program here in a couple of weeks. Dr. Stegeman's with me in studio. Ingrid has been waiting to speak with the doctor. Ingrid, how are you?
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're doing very well. Thank you.
I have 3 questions, doctor. The first one, let's just get it out of the way fast. That contract that Dr. Sanchez has, please don't renew that. Can you do that?
Don't
renew.
That's more of a statement, Ingrid.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I didn't
vote for it the last time, yeah. And I probably wouldn't vote for it again in its current form, but it won't be up for a while.
And Ingrid, you had 3 questions.
Yes.
Quickly on the other 2.
The statute, the Arizona statute that allows open enrollment, it's a number 15-811.
Mm-hmm.
That really does seem to be a problem because the parents of those students are not paying their full shot of property tax. And I'd love to see that addressed. How do you feel about it?
Okay, what was the 3rd question?
And
so perhaps he can address both those questions.
Instead of downside, instead of closing schools when they're not being fully utilized, is there some way that you can simply only use portions of them, turn off the air conditioning and so forth, instead of closing down the schools? Is that feasible so that the children don't have to travel so far to get to school? Thank you very much.
I'll okay.
Yes, on the second question, that depends on the school. In some cases, it's practical to close down wings or portables, and in other cases, it's not. So that varies school by school. I'm not an advocate for more school closures, and this was one of the issues that was sort of made up for this campaign. I think it just popped up a month ago, and it's now the election's over. I think that issue's going to disappear.
What about the open enrollment that Ingrid brought up, open enrollment and paying
right.
the fair
share?
Right,
yeah, so property property tax burden depends on how much property you own. So I think it's generally not true that the people who send kids to school are the same ones paying the taxes. So I'm not sure if I understand your question completely, but it's not generally equitable in that sense.
Okay. How about moving forward? You put together a 100-day plan. Could you summarize the plan for our listeners?
That's on our on my website, and I was trying.
What is your website?
It's Stegeman 4, number 4, mm-hmm. TUSD.com.
Okay.
And I put that up months ago, and I really wanted this to be a campaign about issues, and instead, of course, it devolved into a campaign about personalities as often, and the picture. I really wish we could show the viewers.
Listeners.
This picture scares me, and I'm the guy in the picture.
Where was that picture, do you think, found? I mean,
I don't know.
It's the angriest looking man.
Yeah, and it's black and white. It really, like I say, it looks like a cranky version of Hannibal Lecter. It's really just horrible picture. So the 100-day plan, I put 10 points in there that I thought realistically we could do in 100 days. And the first one is, I think, the most important, which is to do an anonymous survey of all the employee groups. And I think in the end we want to survey the parents too, but initially the employee groups, and do it in a way that's truly anonymous and ask them what's working well, what's not working well, and what are the top things that we need to do to make things better, and see what they say, because I think the employees know a lot.
By the way, a listener just asked, why did they do the picture in black and white? Is that to give some kind of dramatic?
I don't know, but it's
I'm
just
sorry
so
to interrupt
silly.
Your thought about your 100-day plan.
No, there's two.
I'm looking at this picture, and I cannot believe it.
There's like these two sunshiny color pictures of Cam and Crystal.
Could you post that on your Facebook page?
Yeah, actually, that would be
good.
Could
you, so our listeners
that
could take a look at it?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I love this mailer, and it came to me. Right, I mean, I got it in my own mailbox.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt
you
on your 100-day plan.
So another one is... we need to fix discipline policy.
Okay.
And another one is, I think we need to shrink class sizes in the early grades. And we really need to address the vacancy issue. And back in January when we did this, that wasn't as prominent. But if I were redrafting it now, I would say the teacher vacancy issue is huge. They've popped up above 170. So those are some of the points in the plan.
What do you mean, the 170 vacancies?
Yeah, as of a week ago, it had popped up to over 170 vacancies. So that means that many classes are staffed by substitutes.
That are supplied by this group we talked about
now
earlier.
They're all supplied by ESI. And some of the substitutes are very qualified. Some of them are good, especially the long-term subs, but some of them are teaching classes that they're not actually qualified for. So we have teachers in math classes that aren't math certified or in science and so forth.
So that's going up then, the vacancies.
Yeah, it's been around 150 for a long time, and now it's actually gone up a little bit from that, up in the 170s. So that's a...
Would you be happy if any of these 100-day plan items...
We'd like to restore the audit committee have an independent audit committee. We'd like to finally hire an internal auditor. I would like... If we could get half of those things done in the first 3-4 months, one of them is streamlining the top-level administration, which is going to be hard, but I think we absolutely have to do it. We are
top-heavy. You're
saying
it's top-heavy.
It is top-heavy. We spend, according to the Auditor General, 11% of our budget on peer administration, and the average for the other large peer districts is 8.5%. Well, that's only 2.5% difference, but times our whole budget, that's $11 million. And so if we just came down to the average of the other districts, that would be $11.5 million we could put into teacher compensation.
Aren't those administrators needed?
Well, some are needed, but I think if other districts can run leaner, then I'm guessing probably we could run leaner. And I'm not criticizing the administrators, but I'm just saying if you look at the organizational chart as a whole, we've got an awful lot of people at the top of that chart.
And the enrollment is at what now in TUSD?
It's around 47,000.
Whoa, I can remember. Well, it was a long time
It was over
ago.
The over yeah. six. It was 62. It peaked at around 63,000, I think.
It did.
Yeah.
46. All right, Dr. Mark Stegeman, and you will be posting this afternoon on your Facebook page the photo that was talked about on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, there were two mailers. I'll post both the mailers.
Well, you don't have to put the whole mailer out, but you could certainly put the photo up there. That would be of interest for people to see that shot. Do you have any idea?
The whole mail looks kind of Halloween-y. Wouldn't you agree?
It's got
this creepy green color.
Yes, it does. So you have no idea where they found that photo. I mean, maybe it's Photoshopped. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know where they found it. I mean, I'm sure we all take bad pictures from time to time.
No kidding. All right. Dr. Stegeman, thank you very much. Good luck with the new board.
I'm optimistic that we can make some.
Not a new board, but the newly constituted board.
I think we need to have a board retreat, and I think we can make a lot of positive changes going forward.
Okay. 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk about election 2016 with Hank Stevenson. Mr. Stevenson works for the Arizona Capital Times. Also, Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got our live streaming If you're near a computer anywhere in the world, you can hear this program at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's time for our CEO interview series presented by the Tucson-based Sun Corridor, Inc., which is a bi-national economic development organization representing one of America's most dynamic and growing business centers right here in Southern Arizona. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact of $7.9 billion. Joining us on the live line is Andrea Krieger. She is the Area Vice President for Randstad Staffing. Andrea, how are you today?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell me a little bit about Randstad. For folks, some of our listeners may not have heard about the company. It's a worldwide company, isn't it?
Absolutely. We are the second largest staffing agency in the world with the funny Dutch name. But whether you call us Randstad or Randstad, we don't mind. And we've been doing business here in Tucson for about 20 years.
What is the Dutch pronunciation?
Randstad.
Randstad. All right.
Yes.
So what does the Tucson footprint look like for the company?
So we've been, like I said, we've been here about 20 years, and we staff both temporary and direct hire placements here in both white and blue-collar arenas. I've got three different teams, a team that specializes in the manufacturing and logistics realm, anything from line workers, assemblers, forklift drivers, warehouse leads, really that kind of areas, what they focus on. We have a team that does office and accounting support, and anything you think about in an office or customer service setting, that's what their realm and wheelhouse is. And then we just recently expanded into non-clinical healthcare, which I think is super important, not only in Tucson, but throughout the world and definitely the U.S., with helping with those non-clinical positions in the medical field, billers and coders, medical receptionists, pharmacy techs, things like that.
That was a big announcement you just made, correct?
There was that as the big announcement over the summer that we went into that space, and then we were lucky enough to make another big announcement last week. Earlier this year, we announced our intent to purchase Monster, and last week the transaction that transaction was finally completed. Monster, the fun little monster that we all know and love from the Super Bowl commercials, is a pioneer really in the digital recruiting technology. And at Randstad, we felt it was a significant leap forward in our mission to provide access to the world's most comprehensive portfolio of HR services. So we're really excited about that announcement.
Tell me a little bit more about Monster. How does this is really a huge growing area of the employment sector, isn't it?
It absolutely is. What Monster brings to Randstad is a host of digital, like intellectual digital, social, and mobile solutions. Really, like you said, made possible by that advanced technology, those platforms, and that recruiting media. More and more, that's becoming really the way that employers, including ourselves, are getting access to talent. Their capabilities add just yet another dimension to how we shape the world of work, which is really our commitment. Is to shape that world of work, and it's allowing us to strengthen our ability to offer both our clients and our candidates and talent really innovative tools to deliver just an efficient and engaging recruiting and job searching experience.
How about the job seeker? This is a good deal for them too, because are these some part-time positions? Are they full-time positions, or are they a complete mix, Andrea?
Absolutely. We do a little bit of everything. Like I said, whatever is going to best help our clients and our the companies we work with is what we're searching for. So it's free of charge to the talent who work with us and the candidates, and it never hurts to have somebody else trying to help find you a job.
Yeah.
And then for our clients have their own jobs to run, and they have their own businesses and things to do. So that's all we do all day is work with candidates, and we focus on the job fit, the boss fit, and the culture fit. So at the end of the day, the job fit, are you mentally and physically capable of doing this job, or should we find you a different one that fits your skills better?
So,
and then boss and culture fit, is this the right company for you? You may be really good at job A, but it's you're not great at company A, so we're going to take job A and find a different company for you. And the same can be said from the client side. So we really work at Randstad at getting to know both our clients and our talent, building those collaborative relationships and finding the right match.
Do you vet then the candidates for the client?
Do we vet them?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We pre-screen, we interview, we do reference checks, we do assessments. We get to know exactly what both the client and the talent are looking for. So it saves a lot of time and money on our client side.
How about the relationship with Sun Corridor? You're doing a lot of work with them.
We do. We've worked with Sun Corridor for years, and we absolutely love it. Not only am I so personally invested in what they're doing in the Tucson community, at Randstad, we're a big believer of getting involved in the communities that we're a part of. What's good for business in Tucson is good for Tucson overall. But the team there is just so professional. They've done such great work, and I love every experience we have with them. I can't say enough about what they've done for Tucson, and being part of that really means a lot to Randstad.
So when they're bringing in clients to town, you then help them with some of the job interviewing and getting the workforce up to speed, correct?
We do, and we're also a subject matter expert. We're kind of a third party who can come in who's not necessarily trying to sell them on Tucson. we are. We want everybody to come here because we think it's a great place to live and work, but we can give kind of a clearer idea of the talent market here, what we need to work on, what we have a lot of, and more so than that, what are some really great recruiting techniques that we've seen work in Tucson, and where can we focus those techniques here for new companies coming in to maximize on their recruiting efforts.
What are some of the recruiting benefits that you have seen for Tucson?
The thing about Tucson is all the different organizations that work together very cohesively with the idea of helping businesses get up and staffed, whether we're talking about Goodwill or formerly Pima County One Stop, the different schools here, they all really work together to help employers that are coming to town find the right staff, which I think I work in four different markets, and Tucson is by far the best at that out of the markets that I work with.
Wow. How'd you get involved in the business?
I fell into it. I don't know if anybody chooses to go into staffing. Everybody falls into it. I didn't even know what a staffing agency was when I interviewed for the job about 10 and a half years ago when I first moved to Tucson. And what I love about what I get to do is I get to work in practically every industry in town. And so you can't ever get bored because there's always something going on.
What do you feel? I get the feeling we're on the upswing here with our economy, with Caterpillar and some other beefing up, it looks like, at Raytheon. What's your sense, Andrea, around town? You're out and about.
I really truly believe we absolutely are. Obviously, the press that we've gotten recently is backing up those feelings as well. So I'm excited to continue to see what Tucson continues to do.
All right. Where can people find out more about your company and perhaps what can be done locally?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, which is randstadusa.com. And like I said, that's a funny Dutch name. So it's randstadusa.com. Or give our office a call at 520-790-7824.
Was this started by someone in the Netherlands with that name? Is that how it came about, or is that something else?
Randstad actually means the area around the city Dutch. And so it started in Amsterdam, the area that they focused was around the city. And that's where the name came up. It was a thesis project back in 1960, and we kind of came to where we are today from there. It's just by happenstance that we happen to be in a town where the Randstad name felt very differently. It's very popular.
I know.
We get a lot of calls for that.
I bet. Andrea, wonderful talking to you. Good luck with what's going on. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right. Andrea Krager doing a great job with Randstad staffing. Yeah, it does sound like Randstad, but it's not related. But anyway, did a great job. Our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Inc. Find out more about Sun Corridor Inc. Go to their website, suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back.
You love to laugh?
Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th. Co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It'd be a great weekend after all the election hubbub to maybe just unplug. Go to the Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico area and hike in the Gila National Wilderness. And if you've not been up to the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, this would be a great weekend to do so and celebrate our centennial of our national parks over there. The Gila, really, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument is something, it should be on your bucket list. It's a great place. Southwestnewmexico.org.
one of the great places, one of the sponsors of our program. We thank them so much. They have the full listing of the many things to do, and there are a lot in historic Silver City, and it's only 3 hours east of Tucson. That website, southwestnewmexico.org, has the listing of the many places to stay and the many things to do. We have a lot of history, of course, right here in Tucson, and the Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville joins me now in studio. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, Bill.
The National Trust for Historic Preservation, that's an organization that I have supported for years. They put out their endangered, I guess it's like their endangered
species.
Well,
their top 11 most endangered locations in the country.
And guess what? Tucson made the list.
Yes.
Which is not a good thing when you make the list.
And
maybe it's a good thing because it does, in many cases, draw a lot of attention. And then they also have a category that they post in their magazine of their saved.
Oh, yes. And one of the nice things about this, when an area gets this designation as the most endangered on a national level, they've been successful almost 90% of the time with saving or a great amount of those resources.
I did not know it. I didn't know the percentage, but that is good news. So this actually is a good thing to get this national attention. This is what's kind of called the Sunshine Mile Corridor. It's a 2-mile stretch of Broadway, generally between Park Avenue and Country Club Road. What can you tell us about that corridor?
Well, just from an historical perspective, since that's what I'm supposedly here for, is Tucson really started going east along Broadway, and especially in the late 1920s, we had the El Conquistador Hotel, where the Elcom Mall is today. And then, like everything, once cars start going out, you start having commercial development. 1939, John Murphy of Foothills Development fame, he did the first shopping center in Arizona, Broadway Village.
That's right.
So that was the anchor there. Then that set the tone for more development. And the reason we have such a concentration of 1950s, what we call mid-century modern, is because the 50s was a huge boom era for Tucson. So all people are going out, more business, Hershey's Shoes, which has been there for 50 years, and just that building just recently got purchased by the Historic Preservation Foundation as their new offices. But that really represents, after the war, the boom, people coming back, and all the Sunshine communities really being identified as a place to move to.
And so why did it make the endangered list?
Well, and I've been involved in this, not as much as the forefront of some other things, is that we've had a road widening plan for like 25 years. And originally, and again, when it was a little bit more originally conceived, this was going to be 8 lanes. And everybody knew 8 lanes wasn't necessary at all. Then it was going to be 6. And the neighborhood groups, and this has been going for several years, was trying to get that as the narrowest 6-lane to have the least amount of impact.
Mm-hmm.
And the city sort of flipped a little bit, and there's lots of issues with this. But now we're going with the wider version of the 6 lanes. And that's starting to impact historic resources. And so part of this designation by the National Trust allows for more funding, more meetings, more work, more consultations about how can we save things than how can we just destroy things and put on all kinds of new typical fast food kinds of situations. The other really important thing about this designation from a positive standpoint, and talking to Damian Klinko, who's the president of the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, now they can apply for grants and other strategies to even possibly move some buildings back a little bit, but take a more intellectual and more preservation approach to this by how can we take some of these parking lots that are going to get fragmented and add those spots together to keep this row of 1950s modern buildings.
We've had some issues with past roadways, a couple of notorious ones you're going to tell
us
about.
Right. Well, just real quickly, for those that were here in the 1970s, during urban renewal, the second phase of that was to develop a parkway going from the west, where the new hotel and the convention center was, all the way out to the airport.
Was that the Butterfield?
That was the Butterfield. We always tend to name things and give it an historic name to something that's going to destroy
it. For the Butterfield stage route.
Right, the Butterfield stage route. People today, and that got stopped completely, people today do not realize that if when you go to the Temple of Music and Art for an Arizona Theater Company show, you would be right next door to the parkway. Hmm. So you would hear all that traffic, and I mean really close, maybe 150, 100 feet away.
Was it a freeway then? They called it a parkway.
Right. Well, you know, terminology and naming is everything. Mm-hmm. So everything gets softened by a parkway. The other perspective on this, and this is more 1979, 1980, those of us that may remember the Mission Road realignment and then the big battle and fight that this was going to take out the birthplace of Tucson. That got changed back, modified. That area is now where the Mission Gardens is, all right. The heritage fruit trees. And then the archaeology was done. All of that impacted our designation for a gastronomy center, the only town, city in the United States is a center of gastronomy because of the archaeology and all that heritage trees and things and Father Keno legacy.
So those are two plans that, you know, never came to fruition. And if they had, be a lot different.
Right. We never know how things, that's the nature of change. Now, the six lanes is going to go through on Broadway, but with a lot of creativity and willing to sit down, and Bob Vent, who's the historic preservation architect right. at the Mission, mm-hmm. he's involved with the neighbors and the city to try and say, how can we look at this differently and save as many resources as possible rather than the typical just demolition and move on that's characterized so much of Tucson.
What is the teardown thinking right now along that area?
Well, and I know they're trying to get the RTA, and obviously that's a whole different... They wanted to be right now, they wanted everything down in 60 days.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's going to take years to get the road in, so do we really need to tear everything down right
and
now?
And how much is, what are we talking about as far as tear down?
Well, different numbers at different times, but now we're still at least talking at least 30 historic properties
mm-hmm.
that are National Register qualified and identified under the 11 most endangered sites.
We've had some successes this year, though, with the Marist College.
Yes, well, that's like a 25-year concern, but it's the nature of change. Because we have the streetcar, the resurgence of downtown, now developers moved in, which we call this low-income tax credit. He's going to build a senior center on the site of the current offices for the diocese. And part of the way these grants and things are available, if he saves an historic resource like the Marist College, they get a better rating. They get the money. The other factor was the streetcar access. So that became a very slam dunk project that we could put more low-income senior housing there, save the Marist College, which is a major, major landmark for the whole state and in some ways the nation.
It's a three-story adobe?
Three-story adobe building. The basement is actually reinforced concrete. That's why it's still there today. But that's supposed to actually get started, I want to say, probably May of next year.
And it was in bad shape.
Oh,
it was crumbling.
Yes, well, I mean, it's supported by girders now. You know, just like everything else, the building wasn't maintained, water collected in the roof, and essentially destroyed two or three of the corners.
A lot of people don't realize it, but Tucson at one time had one of the best kind of adobe areas in the United States.
Oh, yes. And in fact, that's where the convention center now is. Yeah. Probably 260 buildings came down.
Wow. That was, of course, during when urban renewal, people were saying, well, that's the way of the future.
Right. Yeah. One last interesting issue with that.
Okay.
The way things work, 1966 and 65, the Urban Renewal Act and funds being available, it was the same year, the Trust for Historic Preservation and the whole National Register idea came to fruition.
All right, so with the Broadway labeling of the Broadway corridor, the widening will continue, but perhaps now with this endangered label from the National Trust for Historic Preservation, there can be some more perhaps creative solutions to saving some more buildings.
Right, just to encourage, let's look at it from a different perspective.
All right, Ken, do you have any more of your, for many years you were doing downtown walking tours.
Oh, I one yesterday for the Tohonicho Park. I did a guest lecture, and then the next day we went down, had lunch, did a walking tour and all of that.
And where could people reach you if they would like to have you as a speaker?
Okay, well, you can always just send me an email, and you can...
I can forward any requests
that
to you. Maybe that would be the best way.
Sure. I always like to say that I'm a great tour guide and historian and a crummy businessman. So, but I've still been able to do this for 30 plus years.
Well, thank you for your work here in trying to preserve Tucson. Thank you very much, Ken.
You're welcome.
All right. We've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw Of course, with Ray Allen, that show comes up this afternoon at 4 o'clock from 4 to 5. Mike and Ray did a really nice job. I want to send out kudos to them. They worked really hard election night. They were down here for 4 hours. So Ray finally got some sleep, and he's in, doing real well today. All right, we've got lots of local talk. This is a local talk station, as well as having national hosts. We've got Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours of local talk. And then the new show. The new show started actually Monday, and the name of the program is Talking Culture. So that covers a myriad of different topics from 9 to 10. Then we do Dennis Prager. The Prager Show is now 10 to noon because of the change in time. So Prager starts now at 10 instead of 9. But I'm still here, and I'm with you at 12:04 each weekday on KVOI. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.